This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. The problems with Alabama's prisons are well documented. The state prison system is at almost twice capacity. It's costing the state more money every year. And there are numerous allegations of poor, even illegal treatment of prisoners by employees. Those issues were part of a panel discussion this week called Issues and Ails. WBHM hosted the event along with the Alabama Media Group and Center for Investigative Reporting. Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald listened to that conversation and joins us now, as he does most Thursdays, to share his thoughts. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, overall, what did you think of the discussion that happened Tuesday night? What did you come away with?
Well, I thought it was great, first of all. And you know, you have to think about the money part of it. And it also made you think about it as sort of an investment in our future because so many of these people are in and will be coming out and face a different world. And one of the best parts, I think, was just listening to people who had been through the system itself and to see, you know, we think of people as prisoners, but they're people too.
Well, you said that many of the people who are in the prison system, they're going to be coming out. But even when they do, they're still kind of serving time. You know, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, think about it right now. There's 32,000, I think it is, inmates in the system right now. And whether we like it or not, 31,000 of those are close to it, are going to be coming out at some point in time. And do you want to, I think I just wrote about it, I mean, if you expect them, if you're going to treat them like animals when they're inside, you're going to expect that when they come out, they're going to claw the furniture. And I hadn't really, you know, thought about it in those crystal sort of terms until then. I mean, it's when you're stuck, and then when you come out as a felon, you're labeled a felon for life. And it makes it difficult to get a job. It makes it difficult. You can't vote. You can't participate in the process. And the question becomes, when have you fulfilled your sentence?
And you can't even do simple things like get a driver's license for a certain period of time, and any sort of public assistance is off the table. It makes it really difficult to try to reestablish, you know, a foothold on the outside.
Right. I mean, it's the deck is already stacked against you because, let's face it, I mean, there was some discussion at the meeting, I think, about the ban the box issue, which is the checkbox on employment forms that says you're a felon. And you know, some of these things are procedural and some of them are not, because, let's face it, any employer, most any employer, with the choice of hiring a qualified candidate who's a felon and the choice of a qualified candidate who's not, are going to go with the not. I mean, I think it's human nature to do that. But the deck is, in many ways, stacked against these people in terms of trying to turn their life around. And that's the problem.
And not to say that these people haven't done horrible
right.
things and have served time for that, but sort of where do you think this attitude comes from, that sort of collectively we're saying you never really can do enough to serve your time, to pay back society?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question. It's really one I had never considered that much until now, because it's so ingrained in us that felon is a lifetime thing. I mean, you did it. You did the crime. And this is what you get for it. But, you know, if you're going to sentence somebody, if you're going to have codified sentences, you serve X amount of years for the crime, it's also ingrained in us somewhere beneath that to understand that when you finish that sentence, you have done your time. You have been punished. And when does that end?
Well, the state's prison system has been under criticism under recent months. You know, just this week, the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a lawsuit against the Department of Corrections over alleged poor health care for inmates. Tuesday evening, we also heard from several state officials. And just how confident are you that we're actually going to get meaningful solutions to the array of problems the state prison system is facing?
Well, let's face it, right now we are hearing more discussion about it from elected officials and from interested parties than we have in generations. So that's good. We also face potential for federal takeover, which will cause change whether it's fixes or not. The bottom line is it's going to take a lot of money and it's going to take a lot of political will. And even though we're having those discussions now, I'm not sure we have enough of either one.
Also this morning, the eyes of the sports world are on Brazil right now as the country hosts the 2014 World Cup. It's required big spending for that country and also brought controversy among residents there. But events like a World Cup offer unparalleled attention, and Birmingham officials are pursuing two events of their own to try to attract eyeballs. It's the 2021 World Games and also the 2016 Democratic National Convention. So, John, let's just start with the big question. You know, what are the odds that Birmingham lands either one of these events?
Well, I think they're very different for both events. I mean, the World Games, let's face it, has anybody heard of the World Games? I mean, the World Games is not the Olympics. It's a cool thing. I mean, it's neat. I think we have a shot at doing that. We don't have to build brand new facilities. It's not the pressure of the Olympics. The convention, I think it's pretty unrealistic in Alabama. I can't see it happening. It's a little bit like Larry Langford's Olympic dream, I believe.
You know, city officials say even if Birmingham doesn't win those events, it's still good to bid. It gets their name out there. What do you think of that?
It depends on how much money you spend when you do it. And how realistic you are, and what your ultimate motive is in doing that. And I've said it before. I feel pretty sure that the talk of this now is designed to make us feel like we really need to build that dome stadium that we've tried and haven't built for 20 some odd years.
Well, John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and online anytime at al.com. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.